Hello and welcome to Feel Good with Jo, your Friday guide to leading a happy and healthy life. Each show, I interview an expert in an area of well-being for their tips on managing our often busy and stressful lives. And today, I am joined by Michelle Finnegan of Zest Osteopathy. Welcome, Michelle.
Hi, thank you for having me.
You're welcome. So the first thing that I wanted to do is just to ask you to tell us what osteopathy is, because I'm sure most people think all bad back, or, you know, they've had, let's say they've had a sports injury or something like that, and that's when they might think of coming to an osteopath. But that's not the whole of what osteopathy is. So you tell us.
No, it's not. The best way that I describe an osteopath to somebody who doesn't know what it is a body mechanic. Osteopathy is a holistic treatment, so that basically means we can treat your entire body. Most people will come and see us with back pain or neck pain, but I treat a variety of different things. This morning I was treating a sportsman who wanted to improve his general well-being and health. So we worked on his lymphatic system, which is the body's drainage system, to help give him a bit more energy. I treat pregnant ladies. I also treat the elderly. I had an interesting presentation of an 87-year-old man last week. So patients vary in age. It's not just for the young people or for sports people. So yes, just to say, if you have an injury with your body or an ache or a pain, generally an osteopath would be able to help you out. And what we recommend is that you phone and have a quick chat on the phone to find out whether it would be suitable for you.
Yeah. And so I guess just to help fill in the other side of that equation then, what sort of things would an osteopath not treat?
Well, generally people will come to us once they are used to seeing an osteopath as a first port of call. And as osteopaths, we are trained in physical diagnosis. So we can assess some conditions. And if we feel necessary, we would send you back to your GP for the necessary tests. We can assess for fractures or really bad sprains. And where necessary, we would refer you on. We try not to say that we treat a particular condition, but rather treat the symptoms of it and how it manifests in your body. So, for example, if you had an autoimmune disease, you might have aches or pains, and we wouldn't necessarily treat the autoimmune disease, but rather treat the aches and pains that you've come in with.
Okay, and I think that's interesting. I think that broadens it out, actually. So for me, one of the things that I'm aware of with both osteopathy and chiropractic work is that people have this idea that they're going to be expected to go week in, week out for months and months, and that it'll get very expensive. Mm-hmm. And I know, because I've come to you myself, that it doesn't have to be that. And we were talking about this difference between managing an acute condition and a chronic condition. So just tell us about that and about what people should expect by way of how much money it's going to take.
Okay. So basically, presentations are normally split into two categories. So either an acute presentation, which means that you've had it for less than 3 months. Generally, if you come and see us as soon as possible, it's quite often we're able to treat you in 2 to 3 sessions. If you've had your condition for longer than 3 months, you have a lot of other not necessarily presentations, but a lot of adaptations added on to what your initial injury was. So we have to unlayer those. So those will take longer. So what happens in a chronic presentation is we might see you for a couple of treatments close together, and then spread the treatments out, and it would become a maintenance program. What I do personally is, once I've assessed you, I would always discuss your treatment plan and your treatment options. We try as osteopaths to educate our patients so that when you see us, you get given the tools that you can take home and use yourself, because you're only seeing us for a treatment for maybe half an hour once a week, and you're with your body for the rest of the week. So you need to be able to look after yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. So what sort of things might that encompass?
Okay, so generally We would give you exercises that are suited to your presentation, stretching exercises, strengthening, making sure that you're doing those exercises correctly, which is very, very important. In cases of back pain, we would teach you about core stability, which is obviously spoken about a lot in the press. We give hydrotherapy advice, so that's using water. I am a naturopath. And quite a few osteopaths are trained as naturopaths as well. So part of our education also involves hydrotherapy, as I've spoken about. We could give you dietary advice, management for stress, making sure that you're sleeping properly, because all these things tie into your recovery and your repair. One of the other things that's really, really important is making sure that your posture is correct, whether that be when you're walking, and particularly when you're doing your work. So we will work through what is specific for your job, and that's what makes osteopathy individual, is that every time you come in, you might have the same diagnosis as somebody else. So for example, you've got a prolapsed disc, but your circumstances of getting to that position are very different to Joe Bloggs down the street. So we work with each person individually to work out a treatment plan that's personally tailored for them and the solutions that will be most suited for their life. So that's how we try and educate you.
And so what are the most common things that you personally see in your practice?
Recently, I've been seeing a lot of people who have suffered with road traffic accidents and have what's diagnosed as whiplash injury. So a lot of those, definitely the lower back pain, a lot of repetitive strain injuries. I personally treat young children as well, so we treat some babies, and sporting injuries, injuries from non-sporting accidents, such as falling off high heels, slipping in the ice. So really a wide variety of presentations, so which makes osteopathy very versatile.
And so I'm just intrigued by treating young babies. So why would you bring a young baby to an osteopath?
So how many of the listeners have either had babies who just won't settle, who are not feeding properly, don't go to sleep? If those are the kind of presentations we would see in very young babies, babies who've had difficult births, those strains stay in their system and they can make them quite hypersensitized. So we would use a technique called cranial osteopathy, which is very gentle, to help the babies and to settle them down, which obviously in turn helps the new mother. In older children, we can treat sleep issues, glue ear infections, that kind of thing. But again, we use the more rounded approach of having the naturopathic background as well as just treating the structure of the person.
And I guess the idea with that is that what you do will last longer.
Yes, that's correct. So if you come and see us and then don't do anything at home, your progress for your treatment would be a lot slower than if you come and see me and follow up on the treatment results. Yeah. So that's really, really important if you want to make progress and not have to see us week in and week out.
It's great. Do as you're told.
Yes, exactly. It's good for my business, but not necessarily good for you.
Yeah, but for our pocket, absolutely. And so, you know, just changing track somewhat, how did you come to be an osteopath?
I originally trained as a massage therapist and realised that there had to be more going on than just treating what was on the surface. And I used to work on cruise ships and I worked very, very long hours and ended up suffering with repetitive strain in both of my wrists. I was given wrist splints and painkillers and anti-inflammatories by the doctor, and nothing really helped. And I went back home after working on a contract and my mum sent me to a local osteopath. And within two treatments, I was a lot better, and she had done work on my neck as well as on my wrists. So it was definitely a learning curve, and it just made me realize that you can treat conditions without having to resort to painkillers.
Yeah.
So it's a much more natural way. And that kind of progression followed through.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point, because that's really the reason why I came to see you, was because of the headaches I was experiencing probably once a month-ish, where actually I wasn't responding terribly well to mm-hmm. the painkillers anyway.
Yeah.
So that might be something for listeners to think about, if they get those sort of repetitive headaches that aren't that responsive, or if they're in the situation that I was in before I took my entire career change into health and well-being myself 7 or 8 years ago, where it was just daily headache, you know, mm-hmm. and it was just sheer amount of tension because yeah. of a very high pressure job. So I think it's interesting to know that there's many more ways available, and that popping a pill is, you know, not even as good as putting a plaster yeah. on, basically, because it doesn't work. Now, I guess I have a question, or rather, it doesn't always work. I have two questions that come from that. One is, could that ever address the cause? You know, could popping a pill ever address the cause of what's happening?
Well, as osteopaths, we believe in treating the cause rather than treating the symptoms. And in the example of headaches, that is a symptom. But the cause could be the fact that you are under a lot of stress. When you're sat at your desk, you're sat in a bad position. So what happens is the tiny muscles at the back of your head will tighten up. And if you take those painkillers and you're still doing the same thing, you'll only get a short-term relief. So when you come in to see an osteopath, you'll take a long consultation to find out all about you and what's happened to you in your past, because all of these things play into it. And by finding out all these small things, it gives us a better picture of what you are as a person and how to treat you. So you could take your painkillers or your tablet or whatever it might be, but you're much more likely just to get short-term relief if you treat the symptoms rather than treating the cause of it.
And I guess for me, there is the question, which I don't necessarily expect you to be able to answer, but of the effect on the body of taking so many painkillers, mm-hmm. you know, if you're managing something primarily through taking pain relief.
Yeah, so what a lot of people are not aware of is if you take, for example, pain medication for a long period of time, you actually get side effects from taking those pain medications. And then, you know, you can be given other medication to deal with side effects of the first yeah. medication that you started with in the beginning. I'm not suggesting that if you're kind of on medication for diabetes or a systemic condition that you should stop taking it. No, that's not at all. But, you know, you can work with your body to try and make it as healthy as possible so that you create the right environment for your body to heal itself. And that's really what we try and do, is try and give you the tools and get your body as healthy as it can be.
And so just beginning to draw that all together now then, because that's really the point of this whole show, is equipping people with tools that they can use to manage their own well-being. What would you say, you know, are the three most important things that people can do to look after them that are general to all of us?
Generally, I'd make sure that you stay hydrated, because your tissues and your cells need fluid in order to operate, really. And if you think about, if you're really tired and you haven't drunk enough water, you just really feel sluggish. Good quality sleep is really, really important, because your body repairs at night. So if you're not sleeping, your body's not going to get that opportunity. And relaxation as well, you know, because if your mind is constantly going, it sends signals into your body which can then feed back and make everything tighten up. So try and, you know, take the time out for yourself, which is, I guess, the purpose of this show, really. Yeah. But those are the main things I would really focus on with every patient.
And I just think, you know, for me to finish on that first point, actually, is staying hydrated is something that we have to be reminded of, because it's an awful lot more water than you think.
Yes.
That you need. And I just heard a new one, and I'll just give this one measurement because I think this is fascinating. So 35 milliliters for every kilo of weight. So if you weighed 100 kilograms, that would be 3.5 liters of water.
Yes.
So that's a lot more water. More. So work it out, guys. 35 mil for every kilo.
Yes.
And it'll give you a really good idea. So thanks so much, Michelle, for spending this time with us today. And where do people go if they want to find out more or come for treatment?
Okay, if you wanted to find out more about osteopathy, there are two organisations. There's a British Osteopathic Association, and then there's the General Osteopathic Council, which are the organising bodies. They give information out. There's leaflets that are available. There are a lot of osteopaths scattered around the country, so there is possibility that there is one who is local to you. For myself, my website is west-london-osteopathy.com.
Okay, great. So that's Michelle Finnegan of Zest Osteopathy, and thank you.
Thank you.
And join me again in 2 weeks' time, and I'll be talking with Catherine Evans about who you really are. I shall leave it at that, leave you intrigued. Brooklyn's Radio.